Okay. So I want to, we touched on a very similar theme last year, but from a completely different perspective. I want to talk about, because I'm interested in, it's always easiest to talk about what you're most interested in, emotion on Yom Kippur. I think for really, really good reason, we think of Yom Kippur as being, the most serious, the most somber day of the year. Obviously, we don't confuse it despite its similarity, or we shouldn't confuse it with Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelos. Yom Kippur is a day of Tshuva. But it seems like, to a certain extent, maybe just because, it's a fast day, and it's hard to get around the fact that fast days lend themselves, to seriousness. They're not something we look forward to. And it's a whole day of davening. I think we've, I don't want to say we've lost perspective on how we're supposed to feel on Yom Kippur, but I do want to spend our time today trying to argue in favor not just of a narrowly defined mitzvah of simcha on Yom Kippur, but a more broadly understood emotional, relationship with Yom Kippur. That's, I'll just say it this way, that makes it closer to Sukkos than to Tisha B'Av. Okay, that's sort of a fair way to do it. I really want to try to convince you, based on real sources, that Yom Kippur is to a certain extent supposed to be a happy day and supposed to be a type of yontif closer to the Shalosh Regalim than we give it credit for. It's easier to make this argument for Rosh Hashanah, because obviously Rosh Hashanah has eating and drinking and all the physical aspects. It's harder to make the argument for Yom Kippur, but I want to make the argument. So there may be some things that remind us of what we talked about a year ago, but the goal is something slightly different. Okay. Any discussion of the emotional status of Yom Kippur starts with a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet, on the screen at source number one. The Gemara says, Amar Abavo, Amru Malachei Asharis Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mipnei Ma'ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanacha B'Rosh Why is it that B'nei Yisrael, that the Jewish people, don't say Hallel? That's generally how we understand the Gemara. Shira in the Gemara means Hallel. Why don't they say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So obviously here, it's not just a discussion of Yom Kippur, it's a discussion of Rosh Hashanah as well. So we'll just do with those two as a group. Eventually we'll split them off. Answers the Gemara, or answers God kiviyachol. Amar lahem, God answers the Malachi Asharis. Efshar melech yoshev al kisei din, v'sifrei chayim v'sifrei meisim psuchim lefanav, v'Yisrael omrim shira. Does it make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on the Kisei Din and he's literally judging his people? Does it make sense for the people to say Hallel at that time, to praise him at that time? So classic sort of brisker lumbus. There are two ways to read this Gemara. And, I remember clearly Rav Lichtenstein said it in this way also. One is that the Hava Amina is rejected. The Malachi Asharis ask God, how come the Jewish people don't say Hallel on the Yom Noraim? And the answer is because it's inappropriate, because it's not a day of Simcha. It's a day of Din. It's a day of judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on the Kisei Din, and it doesn't make sense at all to say Hallel because it's not that kind of a day. That's one reading of the Gemara. But anytime you have a Gemara where there's a Hava Amina and a Maskana, there's always another possibility. And this is the possibility that Rav Lichtenstein thought was true in this Gemara. And that is, the answer doesn't reject the Hava Amina. The Malachi Asharis say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't the Jewish people say Hallel on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? And the answer is, it's a great question. You're right. They really should be saying Hallel because the Yomim Noraim are days of Simcha, but But there's a technical problem. It's inappropriate for people who are being judged to start praising the judge, right? It sounds like a type of emotional bribe. But the hava amina remains. The hava amina that Malachi Asharis had is correct. Really, we should be saying halal on Yamim Noraim. It just happens to be for a technical reason. Melach Yoshev al Kisei Din v'Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Mesim P'suchim Lefanav. So therefore, since it's inappropriate, we don't say halal, despite the fact that they are days of Simcha, and were it not for this technical issue, it would be appropriate and necessary for us to say halal on the Yamim Noraim. Okay, that's the key Gemara. Again, two ways to read this Gemara. Either the question, the Havamin is rejected. Why don't we say halal on Yom Noram? The answer is because it's inappropriate, because it's a serious day. It's not a day of Simcha. Or the one we're going to pursue, which is, you're right. It is a day on which we should be saying halal, except we can't. We can't because it's inappropriate to say halal to the judge when the Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Mesim are psuchim lefanav. Okay, now, how do we know which reading is correct? Well, it's not so clear, but I want to bring two Rambams that are generally quoted in this conversation, where it seems like the Rambam reads the Gemara the way we're suggesting it should be read. That really there is a mitzvah of Simcha on the Yom Noraim, but we don't say halal for another reason. Now, each of these two Rambams requires a close reading and requires like a deal. You know, you have to see that the Rambam is hinting at something that he doesn't say. And I'll make this point. You know, usually when you hear, ooh, it's a diuk in a Rambam, so you think, oh, that's well beyond us. You know, we're regular Jews. Big Talmid Chacham, they make diukim in Rambams. We don't. But each of these two diukim are available to each of us. It just requires a close reading. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. Let's start with the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, Perek Gimel, where the Rambam is describing the rules of Halal. If you want to find the rules of Halal in the Rambam, you have to go to Hilchos Chanukah. And there he tells us exactly when you say Halal. And here's the Gemara quote, the Rambam quoted the Gemara at first. The Gemara says, "Ushmona asar yom bishana mitzvah ligmor bohem et ha-halel." There are 18 days in the year in which we say halel shalei. The Rambam is speaking bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. Ve'eluhen, because here's the 18. Shmonat yimei hachag, 8 days of Sukkos. Ushmonat yimei Chanukah, 16 days now of halel shalei. V'rishon shel Pesach, first day of Pesach, that's 17. V'yom Atzeret and Shavuos, that's 18. Okay, no chiddush so far. We all know this. But now the Rambam says, Avol Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim, ein bahem halel, lefi shehein yimei tshuva v'yira v'fachad, v'lo yimei simcha. Says the Rambam, but of course, we don't say Halel on the Yamim Noraim because they are days of tshuva, repentance, v'yira, and fear, and pachad, you know, I don't know, even worse fear. And they're not days of simcha. So if that was the Rambam, it would be very simple. The Rambam rejects our reading of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam says no. The idea that there's simcha on the Yamim Noraim is rejected. But, you know, anybody who's looking at source number two realizes that I didn't read the last word. What the Rambam says is we don't say Halel because they are not days, they are lo yimei simcha yitera or yisera. They don't have excessive simcha. But you can't miss the fact, that's the deal. You can't miss the fact that the Rambam says Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of simcha. They're just not days of Simcha Yisera. They're happy. They're just not excessively happy. So the Rambam is charting a path between on the one hand, Shalosh Regalim, which are clearly Yimei Simcha, they get Hallel, but they're also not sad days. And so there is an idea, and there was a Hava Amina, to say Hallel on the Yamim Noraim, but because they're not Yimei Simcha Yitera, we don't. Or, to say it more clearly, what the Rambam says is, perhaps the theme of Tshuva and Yira and Pachad overwhelms or beats out the theme of Simcha, but the theme of Simcha exists. Now, I know the Rambam thinks that Simcha exists on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because of another famous Rambam and another, what I think is obvious diuk. Source number three, here's the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam says, Shivat Yimei HaPesach, 8 days of Pesach, Ushmonat Yimei HaChag, and 8 days of Sukkos, Im Sha'ah Yamim Tovim, together with the other holidays, Kulam Asurim Behespeid V'Ta'anit, it's prohibited to fast and to eulogize, V'chayav Adam Lihiyot Ban Sameach V'Tov Lev, Hu Ubanav V'Ishto Ubnei Beito V'Chol Hanil V'Malav. And on these days, a person has to be happy, and not just his personal happiness, but he has to make his whole family and his whole household happy as well. Shenemar V'Samachta B'Chagecha. Okay. The Rambam says there is a mitzvah of Simcha that's noheg on the following holidays: Pesach, Sukkos, and Sha'ar Yamim Tovim. So it should be obvious. If the Rambam meant by Sha'ar Yamim Tovim Shavuos, well, he should have just said Atzeret, like he normally would. He would have said, there's a mitzvah of Simcha on the 7 days of Pesach, 8 days of Sukkos, and Shavuos. But he doesn't. Instead, he uses this cumbersome phrase, Im Sha'ar Yamim Tovim. Pesach, Sukkos, together with the other holidays. Well, what are the other holidays? The answer seems obvious. It must include Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because otherwise he would have just said it covers the Shalosh Regalim, or he would have identified Atzeret individually. By saying other holidays, he means the only other D'oraisa holidays. There's only five D'oraisa holidays, Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. So it doesn't read correctly unless our diuk is correct, that the Rambam means to say there's, and I'll say it in my terms, there's a super mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, a super mitzvah of Simcha on Pesach and Sukkos, but there's also a mitzvah of Simcha on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah, and on Yom Kippur. Okay? So now we have two Rambams that support our reading of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that when the Malachi Asher asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't we say Hallel? The answer is, it's a good question. There is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as seen in the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, where he says, they're lo yimei simcha yitera, but they are days of Simcha. And as we see in the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, when he includes them in the days on which there is a mitzvah of Simcha. But technically speaking, because we're being judged on that day, the Simcha is a little different. It's more serious. And therefore, we don't say Hallel.
Eli, in Musav, we say V'yantev haya osa kohen gadol kishayotza, when he went out of the Kodesh Kodshim. So we see that.
Yes. Yes and no. The reason why I don't want to bring that as a proof is because you're right. If the kohen gadol left safely, and the crimson thing turned white, so of course we were joyous because God forgave us. But that's not the same thing as saying it's a day of Simcha. In fact, I heard Rav Meidan once talk about what was it like in the Beis Hamikdash when it didn't turn white Right? What was it like in the Beis Hamikdash when the Kohen Gadol didn't come out? So it's fair. I'm happy to use that, but I don't want to use it because I think we want to talk about the nature of the day. Okay, now the Rambam here in source number 3 mentions the problem with claiming there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and that's the lack of a karban. As we'll see in a second, in order for there to be a mitzvah of simcha, you need a karban. But before we do, and maybe I should have put it in a different order, look at source number 5. Source number 5 is the continuation of source number 3. Right? 3 was Halacha Yud Zayin in the 6th parak of Hilchos Yom Tov, and 5 is Halacha Yud Ches. Now here the Rambam asks, okay, if you can't bring a karban to be yotze your mitzvah of simcha, how do you do it? And the Rambam tells you, Ketzad, Hakitanim noten lohem klayot ve'egozim umigdanot. Children, you should buy them treats. That's how, you know, that's what makes them happy. I don't buy them presents, buy them popcorn. That's what works for children. Vahanashim and women. Konelohen bigadim v'tachshitim na'im kifim umono. Right, based on your budget. You buy them, your wife, your daughter, you buy them new clothing for Yontif. V'ha'anashim, and us, ochlim basar v'shotim yayin, meat and wine. She'ein simcha ela b'basar v'ein simcha ela b'yayin. So the Rambam Ki'ilu makes up, you know, the maisa ha-mitzvah b'zman hazeh. You're right, you can't bring a karban, but there are other things you could do to make your family happy, to be yotzei the mitzvah of simcha. Now, let's get to the problem. The problem is, in the Rambam and Hilchos Chagiga, there's a very narrow definition of the mitzvah of simcha. In the very first halacha, in source number 4, the Rambam says, V'hasimcha ha'amura b'regalim, or what does it mean? You bring extra karbanot. These extra karbans are called shalmei shlamim of simchat chagigah. Now, let's get to us. Let's leave Rosh Hashanah out for a second. What are the problems? The problem of claiming that the Rambam thinks there's a mitzvah of simcha on Yom Kippur is that there's really no way to be mekayim the mitzvah of simcha. We can't bring a karban, right? We can't bring a karban bizman azef for sure. But the Rambam is saying, even bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, you couldn't bring an individual karban. You didn't go to the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur and bring shalmei chagiga, which is the mitzvah. And even if you want to expand the mitzvah the way the Rambam did in Hilchos Yom Tov to basar v'yayin, well, we can't do that either. Obviously, Yom Kippur is a fast day. There's no way for us to be mekayim the mitzvah in any form bizman hazeh. So what are we left with? How could we claim there's a mitzvah of simcha on Yom Kippur when there's no way to be mekayim that mitzvah since we're fasting? Two approaches. The first is the approach of the Rav, which Rav Lichtenstein quoted. And he referred to the Rav as a very, very famous chakira, I suppose, when it comes to mitzvahs. The Rav didn't make it up, but he made it famous, and he's the one who applied it across the board. The Rav said, sometimes you have a mitzvah where the maisa ha-mitzvah and the kiyum ha-mitzvah are one and the same. Example, the mitzvah of lulav on Sukkos. The mitzvah is to pick up a lulav and an esrog and hadasim and aravos. When you pick it up, you're yotzei the mitzvah. If you don't pick it up, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Said the Rav, but there are also mitzvos that have two parts to them. There's an act that you're chayiv to do, but there's a result that you need to bring yourself to. So, for example, an avel is supposed to sit on the floor and not wear leather clothing, not wear leather shoes, and not bathe, and not do all these things. Those are the acts, said the Rav. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. But what's the Kiyum HaMitzvah? The Kiyum HaMitzvah is Avelut Shebalev, is feeling sad, is acknowledging your loss, right? You're not mourning properly, you know, if you're yucking it up and but you're wearing sneakers. That's not how the mitzvah works. He thought the same thing for tefillah. The Maisa HaMitzvah is saying the words, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Shebalev. It's Avodah Shebalev. And he thought the same thing about the mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov. Namely, it's true, you're supposed to bring a karban. It's true, you're supposed to give out gifts. It's true, you're supposed to eat meat and drink wine. But that's just the Maisa HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, is Simcha Shebalev. And that Simcha Shebalev, that sense of joy, is available to us on Yom Kippur, even if the specific acts that constitute the halachic definition of Simcha are not available. Okay, that's a very, very famous Rav idea. And Rav Lichtenstein quoted it. It exists in other places also, obviously. But Rav Lichtenstein, he said in the article, in the write-up, he said, you know, Re'uyin hadvarim l'misha amaran. Right, like this is a beautiful idea, and it's worthy of the Rav. But then he suggested, you know, in the nicest possible way, that it still may not work in this context, because he said if you really hold, like the Balei HaTosfos, that the mitzvah of Simcha is bringing Shalmei Chagiga, you're out of luck. There's no way you could claim the mitzvah applies if the mitzvah doesn't apply. If you can't do the act at all, if it's a fast day and you can't eat meat and you can't drink wine, it's hard to argue that you got the mitzvah, even if you were able to achieve the feeling behind the mitzvah, right? It's a whole fancy idea, which I don't want to get into now, but, you know, it relates to efforts to sort of improve halacha. Maybe I mentioned this example once. You know, a person says, really, l'shem shamayim, he really believes that, you know, watching the Ten Commandments or the Prince of Egypt or whatever at the Seder would actually help his family feel, you know, the Exodus more than eating Marar and more than reading the Haggadah, which nobody understands, right? That's the problem we're up against. At some point, if you say the purpose is the purpose, not the act, well, the whole Maisa HaMitzvah and the whole core of halacha starts to be put in jeopardy. Not, God forbid, that the Rav, you know, thought we should go in that direction, but that's the risk. And Rav Lichtenstein had a different approach. And in this case, the different approach speaks to me very, very much. He explained, much like the Rav, but in a different way, that occasionally there are mitzvos that play two separate roles. Easy example. He said, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah at the Seder. Now, obviously, the eating of matzah is unique to Pesach and is related to the Seder. But if you just do that act, if you just eat matzah, it's clear, even without a Seder, it's clear that you got the mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan. Same thing with lulav. If you take a lulav on the 15th of Nisan, you're yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav. Doesn't matter if you're planning to eat outside, if you didn't build a sukkah, nothing matters. It's a standalone mitzvah where if you do it, you get the mitzvah. Said Rav Lichtenstein, but there are also mitzvahs that have a dual role. And the example he used was blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Everybody knows that we blow far more than we're obligated to blow on Rosh Hashanah. And many, many people, in fact, the Gemara has a story that when they finished blowing 100 kolos in Bavel, you know, everybody took out their own shofar and started blowing on their own. And the famous question is asked, why isn't this Baal Tosif? why is just blowing all day long, why isn't that a problem? And answered Rav Lichtenstein, there are two parts to the mitzvah of shofar. The first part is the mitzvah of shofar. And you're supposed to blow a shofar, let's say 30 times min haTorah, based on limudim in the Gemara. That's a standalone mitzvah of shofar. But he said, there's also the mitzvah of shofar that helps establish the day, have a certain tone, have a certain content. It's Yom Teruah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of shofar blowing. And therefore, there's another type of shofar blowing, which is not to be Yotzei the mitzvah, but it's to fill Rosh Hashanah with a sense of content, to make it a Yom Teruah, a day on which we blow shofar, far in excess of what the Torah asks us to do. Not for the narrow definition of the mitzvah of shofar, but for a broader sense of the nature of the day being a Yom Teruah. And he said, if it's true with respect to shofar, it's certainly true with respect to the mitzvah of simcha. He said, there's two aspects to the mitzvah of simcha. One is, you know, v'samachta b'chagecha, a narrowly defined standalone mitzvah that requires us to go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a certain karban. And if that's not available, it requires us to buy gifts for our children and our spouses and eating meat and drinking wine. He said, but then there's another aspect to the mitzvah of simcha, and that's simply making it Yom Tov, filling Yom Tov with a sense of joy to make it a unique day. When the Torah describes Yom Tov as Mikra'i Kodesh, Chazal learn a lot of requirements from the term Mikra'i Kodesh. Isser Malacha and Kiddush and all the things that make Yom Tov into Yom Tov. And no one doubts that Yom Kippur is included in the Parshas HaMoados as one of the Mikra'i Kodesh. If you look at source 6, this is the Parsha in Amor that we read. We don't read on Yom Kippur, but we read pretty much on every holiday. Eile Moadei Hashem Mikra'i Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam. These are the holidays, and one of them is Ach Be'asor LaChodesh HaShivi'i Hazeh Yom HaKippurim Hu Mikra Kodesh Yelachem Ve'ini Semes Nafshosechem Ve'ikraftem Mishel Hashem. One of the Mikra'i Kodesh is Yom Kippur. And then the Parsha ends, Vayidaber Moshe Es Moadei Hashem Al B'nei Yisrael, re-emphasizing the point that all the holidays that are listed in Emor are all Moadim. So what makes them Mikra Kodesh? So Lichtenstein said, one of the things that makes them Mikra Kodesh is the content of Simcha. Not Simcha as a standalone mitzvah, like Lulav, like Matzah, but Simcha as a mitzvah that helps the day become Mikra Kodesh. Like Shofar, in which on the one hand, there's a narrow halachic obligation of how many times you blow shofar, but on the other, there's the idea of it contributing to Rosh Hashanah being Yom Teruah. He thought the same thing could be said about Simcha on Yom Kippur. Of course, it's not the regular mitzvah of Simcha. You can't eat. It's a fast day. But nevertheless, since Yom Kippur is part of the cycle of holidays and is a Mikra Kodesh, the other type of simcha as a mitzvah could apply. The other type of simcha being, it helps fill our day with content. Even though we're on trial, even though the melech is Yoshev al Kisei Din, it still is a yantif, and therefore there is still some type of simcha that applies. And presumably by that he meant, when the Rambam says, you know, in source number 2, they're not yimei simcha yitera, they're not the narrowly defined days of joy, but they still have an element of simcha to them. And that element of simcha can be fulfilled even without the narrowly defined act of bringing a karban and or eating meat and drinking wine. Okay, so much for sort of the lumdus part and my attempt to try to convince you that even in the halachic definition world, Simcha applies on Yom Kippur. But even if I did a good job, and on Zoom, it's hard to know if I did. It's hard to see people's reactions. I think emotionally, nobody's buying it. And I say this because it's hard for me as well. You know, it's hard to change our mindsets from days of awe, it's a fast day, to, ooh, let me find a way for Simcha to apply in Yom Kippur. And I think there are two reasons psychologically why we reject the Lamdus, and our instinct is to reject the Rambam and say, it can't be real. The first one is, again, our biased or jaundiced view about fast days. Now, why do we have a biased view of fast days? Because almost every fast day that we know is a fast day of Avelut. Tisha B'Av and Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tzom Gedalia and Asar B'Teves are days of mourning. They relate to Churban Beis HaMikdash. So we naturally think or associate a fast with mourning. And that's wrong. You know, it's clear why we do it, but let's be honest, right? When the Torah was given, Yom Kippur was 100% of the fast days that existed. And Yom Kippur is not supposed to be a day of Avelut. It's certainly not supposed to be a day of mourning. It's a day of tshuva. But that's different. The fast of Yom Kippur is a fast of tshuva. It's not a fast of, oh, this is so terrible that God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And so our instinct is wrong. But even if our instinct is wrong, again, we do associate eating and drinking, and the Torah and Halacha associates eating and drinking with the mitzvah of Simcha. So how in the world could we be Yotze, the mitzvah of Simcha, without eating and drinking on Yom Kippur? So there may be an answer, and I'm pretty sure we did this Rabbeinu Yonah last year, but it's so fantastic, we'll do it again. There's a whole discussion about the obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. We all know, there's this idea, maybe even it's a mitzvah drabanan, of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. And the two explanations fall into opposite camps. One is, well, God told us to fast on the 10th, but he loves us so much, he asks us to eat on the 9th, so that we'll be strong enough to fast on the 10th. The other strange sheet is the opposite. No, eating on the 9th makes it harder to fast on the 10th, and God wants to give us more schar, so he wants it to be harder. But there's another approach to eating on the 9th, and it centers not so much on the general mitzvah of eating on the 9th as on the mitzvah to have a suda hamafseket. And here Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 7 in the Shari Tshuva says something amazing. It says, v'hashenit, the second reason for the suda of Erev Yom Kippur, ki b'sha'ar yamim tovim anachnu kovim suda l'simchat hamitzvah. On every holiday, we sit down to a festive holiday meal. It's only natural. Ki yigdal v'yishke ma'ot schar ha-simcha la-mitzvot. Because God wants us to be b'simcha when we do mitzvos. And he quotes two psukim, the second one of which is, tachas ha-shel lo-avartas ha-shem al-kecha b'simcha v'tuv le-vav. God wants us to be happy. U'mipnei sh'atzom b'yom ha-kippurim. But what are you going to do every year? Yom Kippur falls out on the 10th of Tishrei. And it's also to eat and drink. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, nischayvu likfoa seuda al simchat ha-mitzvah be'erev Yom HaKippurim. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know what? Stop thinking of Yom Kippur as a one-day festival and start thinking of it as a two-day festival. The reason why we have a Yontif meal on Erev Yom Kippur is not so we can fast well. It's because Yom Kippur requires a Yontif meal, but for a technical reason, it can't be fulfilled because Yom Kippur is a fast. So what we did was take, the act of Simcha, basar and yayin and having a yontif meal, and we took it from the day it should have been done on, which is leaving shul after Musaf on Yom Kippur, we'd have lunch because it's a day of simcha. Aye, but it's a fast. So we simply moved it to Erev Yom Kippur. And that's why most people have the minhag to already wear big day Yom Tov when they sit down for the meal. That's why some people have a minhag to have candles lit. That's why some people have a minhag to have Lecha Mishnah, to do some form of Kiddush, because it's supposed to look like a Yontif meal, because it is a Yontif meal. It's just we're doing it the day before. But if Rabbeinu Yonah is correct, so obviously what he's essentially saying is, we want there to be Simcha on Yom Kippur. There is a mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Kippur. And it even plays out in the way it does on other holidays. Except because Yom Kippur is a fast, it has to be done on Erev Yom Kippur. Really, it is a staggeringly brilliant idea. And, you know, not to get off the topic, but it also works nicely with the whole Purim, Kikipurim, in that Purim is the exact opposite, right? Purim itself is the day of eating and drinking and, you know, excessive joy. So Chazal said, you know what? Before Purim starts, let's have a fast day. So we'll have one day of spirituality. And the next day, you'll have, you know, unlimited physical expressions of simcha, modeled on Yom Kippur, which is the opposite. Erev Yom Kippur is the day where we do the physical aspect, the physical expression of the mitzvah of simcha, and Yom Kippur is simcha on the spiritual plane. Okay, that's Rabbeinu Yonah. But we're still stuck. I think that goes a long way to help proving the point that simcha exists on Yom Kippur. But I think emotionally, we're stuck on the following. And the following is that Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva. It's a day of slicha, mechila, and kapara. And we don't associate that process with joy. And we don't associate that process with joy for the simple reason that self-reflection is usually painful. And if you look at sort of the classic definition of tshuva, in the Rambam, so it starts with hakarat hachet, right? We acknowledge that we did something wrong. Charata, we're deeply regretful for what we did wrong. And kabbalah la'atid, and we accept on ourselves that we're not going to do it again. That's not a joyous process. Or I think initially, we don't think of it as being a joyous process. Regret is not something that we associate with simcha. And I think that's why most of us struggle with this idea, even though I'm trying my hardest to prove it, that there's simcha. How could there be simcha on Yom Kippur if the process we have to go through is so painful, right? If self-examination and we come up short and there's all these things we did wrong, you know, how could that be? So the simple answer, and Jackie said it before, the simple answer is, okay, well, the joy is when God forgives us. And of course it's true, but that's not what we want to argue, because it's hard to argue that, certainly according to the Shita, that Itzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper at sundown of Yom Kippur, so there'd be no joy during the course of the day. And Rav Lichtenstein thought that, you know, that was an unfair way to go about the business. He thought that there needs to be simcha in the process of the day. And I'm going to suggest something now, this will be the last point we make, to try to support that. Start with the famous Rav idea in source number 8. Here, we'll use the same pasuk Rabbeinu Yonah quoted in source number 7. In the Tochacha in Kitavo that we read a few weeks ago, the Torah tells us all the terrible things that are going to happen to us in the future. And they really are quite terrible. And why is this going to happen to us? Says the Torah, Tachas asher lo avadta es Hashem Elokecha bisimcha uvetuv levav meirov kol. You know why all these terrible curses are going to befall us? Because we didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu bisimcha. We didn't worship God with joy. And everybody in the world asks the following question. That's so terrible. You did all the mitzvos. you avoided all of the Isurim, but because you didn't do it joyfully, God is going to punish you? What are we, like Breslovers? I didn't mean that in such a bad way. But, you know, we do mitzvos. Okay, sometimes we're excited, sometimes we're not. We avoid basar b'chalav, sometimes, you know, sort of resignedly, and sometimes because, you know, we love, what's the difference? We keep halacha. And here the pasuk seems to imply that the tochacha came because we were not besimcha. What does that mean? So the Rav has, you know, really, really famous idea. I don't know where it's written, but it's quoted widely, in which he says we misunderstand the word simcha, at least in this context. The Rav says every time the word simcha is used in the Torah, bisimcha, v'samachta, it is associated with lifnei Hashem, with being in God's presence. Example, source number 9, v'samachta lifnei Hashem alokecha atah uvincha uvitecha. Right, every obligation of simcha requires you to come to the Beis HaMikdash and stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be in his presence. And so the Rav says about the pasuk in the Tochacha on source number 8, it doesn't mean that you weren't happy. It means that you kept the Torah without an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing behind it, without an awareness that you're doing it because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or that you're doing it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Then it's like Rav Steinsaltz used to say, you're a person who worships Shulchan Aruch, not a person who worships God. The purpose in the Torah is to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true. He gave us Taryag Mitzvos. But the idea of Simcha is to know that you're standing in the presence of God. Now, what does this have to do with tshuva? So the Rav didn't say this part, but it seems obvious to me. Look at source number 10. Here's the Rambam in the first halacha nilchas tshuva. Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, kol mitzvot shebat Torah, bein asei, bein lo ta'aseh, im avar adam alachat mehen. If you violated any mitzvah satorah, an aser lo taseh, bein bizadon, bein bishkaga, intentionally or accidentally, kishayaaset tshuva v'yashuv mecheto, when you decide to do tshuva and repent from your sin, chayav lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu, you are obligated to say vidui to God. Now, there's a lot to unpack in this halacha, but let's just deal with the last part. And that is, you're obligated to say vidui lifnei hakel baruch hu. Well, who else would you say vidui to or in front of? What does it mean that the Rambam tells us that the person you're saying vidui to is hakel baruch hu? Well, of course, that's also the person you make kiddush in front of. That's also, it's the explanation for every mitzvah. But the answer, I believe, and I think Rav Lichtenstein tried to, you know, express this in a number of places, the idea is that the whole tshuva process can only take place if you feel that you're in God's presence. And the feeling of being in God's presence is the feeling of ultimate simcha. For a religious person to act in a way that affirms that you believe in God, and not just that you believe in God, but that you believe in a God who wants you to do tshuva and who's willing to accept your tshuva, that's the essence of simcha. And obviously then, it's not a stretch to claim that simcha applies on Yom Kippur. It's the essence of Yom Kippur. The idea that I'm standing in God's presence, it's beyond anything we could ever imagine. Yes, it's scary. It's not the simcha of, you know, of eating meat and drinking wine. It's not the simcha of singing and dancing. And by the way, there was once a discussion in yeshiva about singing and dancing on Yom Kippur, and Rav Lichtenstein thought it's completely inappropriate to sing and dance on Yom Kippur. We do sing, but the dancing part, which is becoming more popular in Israel, we don't do. He thought that that's not the essence of the day. It's not that type of simcha, but it is a day of simcha. It's a day of simcha of realizing that we're standing in God's presence and that God is inviting us to improve and he's rooting for us. What greater simcha could there be? The Mishnah in Avos in source number 11, Perek Daled Mishnah Yud Zayin. It's incredible. Hu haya omer. Yafesh sha'a achat b'tshuva u'ma'asim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chayei ha'olam haba. 1 hour of tshuva in this world is greater than all of Olam Haba. Wait, how could that be? It doesn't make sense. And even the Mishnah continues. V'yafesh sha'a achat shel karat ruach ba'olam haba. And 1 hour of sort of the joy of Olam Haba is greater than kol chayei olam hazeh. So which is it? And the answer is, it's both. The ability to stand in front of God, b'tshuva, and improve, that doesn't exist in Olam Haba. The only opportunity we have for self-improvement and for growth is in Olam Hazeh. And the Mishnah says an hour, it's a metaphor, it doesn't matter, a period of time of authentic personal growth in Olam Hazeh is better than all of Olam Haba. The feeling that we're standing in God's presence, that we're improving ourselves, that we're acknowledging our failings and trying our best not to do them again, and that God is actually listening, that's not a form of simcha. That's the greatest form of simcha. But of course, it does come with a fear. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Bet Halacha Bet, we won't read it inside, but the Rambam describes the following. What's Avat Hashem and Yirat Hashem? Avat Hashem stems from this incredible closeness that you feel to God, and you feel the sense of intimacy, and you want to be near him, and you want to get closer. And as you're getting close, you know, if you imagine the person you most respect in the world, he's your idol in this whole thing, you're waiting outside of his office. So on the one hand, you're really excited. You're getting to meet this person, spend time with this person. You've admired him or her your whole life. But, you know, as you're about to walk in, you're terrified because you realize this guy discovered quantum physics. I don't know. And now you're scared. Says the Rambam, that's how it works with God. You ping pong between these two emotions. You feel this incredible joy and warmth and closeness from standing in front of God. And then all of a sudden you go, oh my God, this is God. And then you run away. And that's Yirat Hashem. But then you come back again. And that's Ahavat Hashem. And that Ahavat Hashem, that closeness, exists in a way on Yom Kippur that it doesn't exist the rest of the year. And our goal is to try to feel that simcha, not the simcha of ecstatic joy, but the simcha of the understanding that you're standing in front of God's presence and that you're so close to him and that he wants you to come closer. Last source. I don't know many Eliyahu Rabbas, but Rav Amital Zatzal used to quote this one. Eliyahu Rabbas are cool because they're like related to Eliyahu Anavi. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Davar Acher Yamim Yutzaru V'lo Echad. God created all of the days, V'lo, and to him Echad. He kept one of those days. What day is that? Ze Yom HaKippurim LiYisrael. That's Yom Kippur. Shehu simcha gedola lifnei mi shama v'yaolam. It is the happiest day of the year for God. Shenitano ba'ahava rabba liYisrael. God gave it with great joy to the Jewish people. It wasn't like a begrudging thing that he gave us a day of repentance. He was happy to do that. V'lo zo bilvad, not only that, Ela b'sha'a shehu mochel la'avonotem shel Yisrael, when he forgives us, ein mit'atzev bilvaval. It's not like, okay, fine, I'll forgive you. Ela sameach simcha gdola, God is overjoyed. Va'omer lahem leharim v'ligvaot la'afikim u'lugayot, and he says to nature, bo'u v'simchu imi simcha gdola, come rejoice with me. Sha'ani mochel la'avonotehem shel Yisrael. Because I'm forgiving the Jewish people. And I think sort of the last psychological burden or hurdle we have is we assume that when we ask for forgiveness, the person on the other side is annoyed with us because we're admitting to all these failings and we're acknowledging how poorly we did this year. But the Medrash says, no, God is not a human being. When he forgives us, he's thrilled to forgive us. He forgives us with great simcha, with great joy. And so in the end, you know, I did my best to try to convince you on the halachic plane that simcha applies on Yom Kippur, whether through the Rav's idea, Rav Lichtenstein's idea, the reading of the Gemara, to diukim in the Rambam. But in the end, it's hard for us to accept that unless we're willing to accept the emotional part, which is either Rabbeinu Yonah's idea of there's a meal, a Yom Kippur meal, an Erev Yom Kippur, or the deeper idea that the essence of the day really is Simcha, and that the ability to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for forgiveness is something we should treasure. It's something that should make us feel close to God, and the understanding that God wants us to do it and that God is overjoyed to forgive us. I just think between our instincts and the Medrash that describes God as being joyous, we ought to paskin like the Medrash and believe that God will be joyous on Yom Kippur and that he awaits the feeling of closeness and the simcha, which is really at the core of the day. Shkach to everybody. It should be a ma'achasim etova for all of us. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill all of our wishes, letova and all our tefillos, be a good, happy, healthy year. And we'll continue.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.